Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden. That's True Straight Up, Chuck and Julie Show. On this beautiful fall-like day here in Colorado, brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com, great conservative website, and Dr. Julie McCallan with Denver Cenogenics, a doctor who's keeping all of us alive here. No, she's great. Highly recommend any kind of health questions. If you're not feeling as, you know, energetic perhaps as you used to be, she can certainly help you with that. It's Dr. Julie McCallan with Denver Cenogenics. We got Tom Tancredo calling in any minute. Hopefully he's out of town. And he's like, hopefully we'll have a signal. So hopefully we're getting Tom Tancredo. We've got the whole debacle going on over the infrastructure bill.
Well, the president is right now down talking to the caucus. The Democratic caucus, I guess there are 219 of them all together, and trying to get them all to vote for
his agenda.
For his agenda, well, whatever his agenda is. He doesn't really know what his agenda is. Somebody will tell him what his agenda is. Well, and Jen Psaki said the Republicans don't have the courage to pass the Democratic Socialist Bill.
So the Republicans don't have the courage to pass the Democrat bill that the Democrats won't vote for because it's so awful.
Right.
Is that right?
Right?
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Just so we're clear on that. So it's the Republicans' fault, according to Jen Psaki. It's because of all those Border Patrol people whipping people. No,
that's right.
The Republicans' fault that the Democrats won't vote for their own bill.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what we're talking about.
And Mitt Romney is
that's Tom here. You keep talking and I'll.
All right. Well, we got Tom on one phone and everything else, but you got two bills. You have the one that the Republicans in the Senate signed on to, at least 19 of them, and then the other bigger socialist spending bill. The infrastructure bill, of course, was 90%. Even the small one is 90% Democrats, and to their favor. But people like Mitt Romney, of course, want to be bipartisan.
Yeah.
But right now, the socialists, the progressives in the House said, we're not going to vote for that unless you first pass the $3.5 trillion good one. And it was a great interview, just a great interview with Yarmuth, the Kentucky congressman who's the head of the budget committee, which he said, the federal government can spend whatever it wants, whatever it needs. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. It just can keep on spending and spending and spending. And I thought that was a wonderful thing from a budget chief. I mean, there is no budget. You just
that's my philosophy when I go to Nordstrom. There is no budget. You just keep spending and spending and spending. No,
well, he
really
said, you know,
or a jewelry store.
Yeah, he said, oh, let's compare it to their home, but not the same thing. You can't print money in your basement.
Well,
if you do, you'll get arrested by the COVID police.
That's right. Well, yeah, exactly. Unless you're counting ballots, you can do those. Anyway, one of the things that I thought was interesting, because I hadn't realized this, is so we've got the one, they're calling it the bipartisan bill, even though it's not really bipartisan. And then you have, that's $1.5 trillion, right?
A mere $1.5. Right. We need that one so desperately.
And then there's the $1.5
trillion.
$3.5 trillion total boondoggle.
Right.
And
not the other one is not a total boondoggle.
Right, right. But what's interesting is Lindsey Graham and somebody else Mitch McConnell, were asking the Congressional Budget Office to give them the exact cost of it, because the Biden administration is telling us it costs zero, right?
Well, you can believe them.
When you get we believe it's going to cost zero. How is the it's a $3.5 trillion spending bill, so the money's got to come from, it costs something, right? I mean,
they can just print.
Well, eventually
your economy is destroyed, but it takes a while.
But they want to know from the Congressional Budget Office how much it's actually what it's going to cost. You would think that would be the kind of thing that they would have figured out. I mean, where's Marjorie Taylor Greene? We need her there. That's the kind of question that somebody should be asking up front, not vote for it and then we'll figure out how much it's going to cost. But by the way, it's going to cost zero, right? So, you know, it's ridiculous.
You can keep your doctor if you want your doctor. No problem. Your healthcare costs will go down. Yes, sir, Eva.
Well, what a and some of the other, I mean, as the weird, it's all like the one is just a social welfare spending bill, which they need to deal with all the new people coming in across the border. Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. You know, it's to subsidize all the green energy lobbyists who are paying AOC for her tax the rich dress. All of those people need money. I mean, a lot of people need money, Chuck. A lot of people need money. And one of the things that they're going to have to do is, you know, they need the IRS now to start going after
little guys
over $600. Did you read what they want to do to the marriage penalty too? They want to like double that.
Well, of course, we don't want people getting married.
No, that's and combining your incomes.
Yes, what a great idea.
It's great.
Well, we've got our favorite former Congressman Tom Tancred on the line. Everyone knows he is. He's a
Speaking at the Laurel Eimer fundraiser.
He did a great speech with Kelly Warren, at the one, and Kelly did a great job following him up. So
yeah,
that was a great event, Tom. Hey, good to have you on.
It was. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Did she say, hey, I want to go before Tom. I don't want to go after Tom. I don't want to have to follow that show.
Well, you know, it is a Kelly. I've gone down to Arizona twice on her campaign. You know, of course, never successfully, but she ran against one. The first time she was running primary against McCain, and that was the most fun of all I've had because I could go down there and kick the crap out of him. And then secondly, then she ran, of course, for the Senate again. Anyway, she's great. I love her, and I just hope if she runs again that she doesn't ask me because it doesn't seem like I do any good for her. It's like just like my grandkids. We came up today, right? My grandchild is playing up here. I told you, and said good luck. And I told you we're going to need more than luck. We're going to need a miracle because he really is on a terrible team. And so as we're driving up, we're a little late, maybe 20 minutes, and they had scored 3 goals and to nothing.
Oh.
And we couldn't believe it. We got there. It was 5 goals then scored by the other team without
goals.
So we lost 5-3. And we said, okay, we're going back. We're never mind. Turn
right,
around.
Right. Yeah, your grandkids are saying, no, we don't have any more games.
Right. No more games, Grandpa.
We had one all year.
Hey, well, listen, why don't talk? Tom has another great column up at americascitizenpress.com. And you do a great job kind of, and we'll get you to that in a second, running through all the things. It's a picture of Joe Biden looking like he's praying, you know, please God, don't let me ask you this. But given all the stuff going on with this infrastructure bill, wanted to get your take on that, having been involved in some of those things. You'll be glad to know, Tom, that Nancy Pelosi is assuring us this is not Democrats in disarray. This is a quote, this is the fun part of the negotiations. So I got to ask you, is anybody up there having fun? Is Nancy Pelosi having fun, do you think?
It totally depends. Has she been poking herself in the eye with a sharp stick for every day up and leading up to this? Because that's the only time this becomes fun. If you can stop that, then you could have fun because you're not doing that anymore. But other than that, of course not. And she's not, believe me, she would have been having a lot more fun if this thing had passed some time ago. And everybody would have fallen into line and everybody, you know, and then she could do her victory dance and then keep handing out money at the end of the year to all of the faithful Democrats who voted with her. And which, because that's it. I mean, it's always, as you know, it's all about the money.
And all about the money.
It's the money that the leadership doles out that they get from various groups. And then they pass on to you as the peon. And they say, okay, here's your dough, but here's what you got to do, right? So that's one process that where money influences everything. And of course, the other is the fact that they are hoping that they can get this done to buy enough votes to overcome the problems they're having with their leader. But it's a double-edged sword because if they do it so blatantly, I guess, then of course they still lose votes. They're in a quandary. That's true. But this is a buy our votes issue. It's got nothing to do with infrastructure or social service. I mean, this is simply, how do we buy some votes?
Is part of their problem, though, I mean, I was wondering about this, too, is because you have essentially the progressives, the AOC wing of the party holding these things up.
And that's about 60. They have about 60 people.
And and it's part of the problem there that the lobbyists can pay AOC to slam through their green agenda more than Nancy Pelosi can give her. I mean, is that why the progressive wing is seemingly standing? I agree with you. I don't for a second believe it's like ideology or ethics or anything. But is that what's going on? Is there this other group of money coming in that's beating Nancy Pelosi's money right now?
Well, it could be, you know, I don't know for sure, but I do think this. I think that when you do have ideological divisions like this, AOC and company see this is sort of their last chance to do something that they've wanted to do for years, and that is to this bill does thoroughly transform America once again. I mean, they keep doing it. Now we're at a point where this one turns us into a completely socialist country.
Right.
So they think, look, we do this. I don't care if he loses. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me because they'll never change this. And they're right. They're right. You see, once you do this thing that actually starts sending money to everybody and their brother, $3,600, by the way, $3,600 per kid under 6 years old, child care tax credit to illegal aliens. Okay. Oh my God.
This is going to cost zero.
A lot of children.
Keep in mind,
it's not going to cost a thing.
Yeah.
No, it isn't going to cost a thing. But once these things get done, especially the kind of things we're talking about, these social service programs, this socialistic, they never, ever, ever turn around. Okay. Nobody ever stops them. Now, that's one of the things they'll do. The tricks they play in the whole discussion of this issue, we're not going to vote for that. That's impossible. Okay, so they'll get the Congressional Budget Office will reduce it to, let's say, $2.5 trillion. How will they do that? They'll say, well, instead of 5 years, this program will give it three, and then they sunset, right? And then, of course, they know, everybody knows, at least those people know, it never stops. So it doesn't matter how many years they stick on it, they could put it for a year, and it will be here forever. So that's the game they'll play. They'll say, oh, well, we've reduced it because we've reduced the time commitment for it. It'll sunset, and then we'll call all kinds, just like in Colorado, they call a lot of things borrowing and not taxing. There's just so many games you can play that the real cost of any of these bills, no one ever knows. Believe me, ever knows.
Well, I assume that one of the carrots that a president can normally say is, look, I know you don't want to do this, but I'll come to your district and I'll campaign for you. That doesn't work with Joe Biden. I mean, if he swing districts, I mean, he's down in the low 30s in Iowa.
He'd have to promise them, hey, pass this, or I will come into your
house. I will come. Pass this or I'll come.
Well, how much you would think between Joe, and tell us a little bit about the dynamics here. Okay, so Joe Biden has been in Congress forever. Kamala Harris was there forever. And yet neither.
No, she wasn't there forever.
Well, she has been there for a while, though, right? I mean,
well, she had a Senate seat for a while.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And so they have, I mean, you would think that she knows her way around. She knows people, but they don't appear to have, I wouldn't think, very much clout at all. I mean, you haven't seen Kamala being brought up in this at all.
No, you haven't. And even Biden, I absolutely agree with Chuck that he is not an asset to almost any campaign. Right now, he is a liability. And there's so many things that you factor into it. Will he be around long enough to come around the campaign?
Right. Yeah.
Will he be healthy enough to campaign? And do I want Kamala? No, I don't think I want her either. And so for them, it's just one of those things where they're stuck in this interesting situation. As I say, it's really fascinating because here's another thing. What do you do? What do you do? Now, let me ask you, how you would vote on this? Let's say that there's a vote on initiating the 25th Amendment, okay, and taking him out. All right. Now that has to start in with the vice president. That's the way it's constructed. She has to, in this case, she has to start the process. Then it goes to the cabinet, and they have to have a majority vote there. Then it goes to the Congress, and they have to have two-thirds or more. Maybe it's three, four. I don't know. They have to have a lot, more than a majority to pass it, to get rid of him. Now, the other way is that he simply resigns his position, hands it over to her. That's a lot easier. Okay, that would almost certainly be the way it would be done. He would simply be kind of forced into it, and turn it over. But look at the option. Look at what it leaves you with as a Democrat. It leaves you with her as the president, number one, which honestly, such a joke in a way. It's certainly not going to engender any kind of support or enthusiasm for that ticket. And number two, it eliminates your majority in the Senate. Because you see, when she leaves office, you don't fill the position of vice president. It is not filled. Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
So there goes the tie vote breaker, right? And you know, and my God, what do? You look at the quandary you have. You either keep him alive, you know, El Cid.
We get it, Bernie's.
Spanish.
Woodrow Wilson.
It was kind of like that. Yeah, El Cid is the, they were attacking he's a Spanish hero because they're attacking Castile, I guess, the Muslims or something. Anyway, they think that he's dead. And in fact, he does die. So they prop him up on a horse, put a wood thing up his back and send him out. And everybody rallies and said, oh, my God, he's alive. And they all run away. this is kind of what they could do with him, I guess. But really, they are in such a quandary here. Right. It just is amazing to consider what you'd be doing yourself. I mean, I think about it and I think, how would I want to vote on this?
How would I vote on this? Yeah. Well, how do I feel about it, El Cid?
Yeah.
Well, with this,
right.
With the infrastructure thing, what's interesting is, and I'm going to be honest, while I find the worky stuff interesting, the bill, I'm kind of like, okay, I just know I'm going to be screwed as a middle-class taxpayer, right? Sure. So other than that, whatever they do, I don't really care. It's going to be awful and I'm going to have to pay for it. So I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, but what's all over the headlines now, and these are on the more left-leaning or totally left news organizations and blog sites, they're like, Biden agenda on the brink. I mean, they're kind of, some of these organizations are making it an all or nothing. And I'm like, well, he hasn't even been president in a year. He certainly has time, but what do you think?
To screw up a lot more than this.
To screw up more than this. I mean, why? Where do you think that is coming from? Because I would imagine that by this time next year, like 99% of the people would be not able to remember what happened with the infrastructure vote. So why are they making a big deal of it, do you think?
Well, another big guess here on my part, but I would tell you that I think they want, when the people we're talking about, the media, the establishment media, they want it. And they recognize that, again, as I say, getting it done once will be taken care of. Then we don't give a damn what happens from that point on because it'll never go away. We will have accomplished the goal of thoroughly transforming America. And so what they do then is to make it sound like and make it appear to all of those people in the Congress who are wondering about it that, you know what? You don't do this in your history because here goes his legacy. Here goes everything. It's the end of civilization as we know it. Blah, 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 blah. And they're hoping they can scare them into a supporting vote. That's what I think kind of goes on. I don't know if it's entirely, but I guarantee you.
You're right. That makes sense.
You know, it could be. Here's the other thing that I think we ought to think about.
Okay.
Manchin, okay? Manchin and Kristen Sinema. Okay. This is how would you like to be? I mean, you talk about being in the catbird seat. Here's Joe Manchin. Now, he's got a dilemma in a way because the more he attacks this the whole plan, the more he says, that's just terrible. I hate it. No good. Then it has to really come down a lot for him to be able to go back to his Democrat constituency and say, see, I did good, right? And so and the Republicans to say, well, you know, he's saying, you know, he didn't really pull it, but he can't. If he can't do that, then I'm telling you, it would be, if I were there, if I was running the show on our side, Mm-hmm. I'd be whining, dining.
Well, I'm sure you are.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure sending him every invitation.
Invitation. What do you want to be? Chairman of finance? Don't worry. We got somebody there now. We'll throw him out the window so fast you won't
believe
it.
Here in the chamber.
Majority leader? Out, Mitch.
Yeah. Majority leader.
Commerce is like, well, Chuck, you can't do that. Chuck is tipping over our table here.
I'm doing a protest.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, I know. The Chamber of Commerce. But
yeah,
is,
yeah.
They, private jet.
They got to be promising him everything in the world. Because if he'll just simply change parties, and it may be, I mean, certainly if I were him, I'd be looking very seriously, especially when he keeps mouthing off about it. You know,
yeah.
He's not Kristen Sinema. She hasn't said squat that I know
of. No, and she's gone back to her Washington. Home state now. Yeah, she's not even there right now.
Yeah, she's in Arizona.
She had a medical appointment.
Right.
Dental appointment.
Well, yeah. Dental she had to get her hair colored. No, I'm kidding.
Right. But he is, you know, he's this, I'm not doing this, it's too much. A trillion and a half, maybe. Well, they're going to have to do even all the hocus pocus cuts probably have a hard time getting to the trillion and a half from the 3.5 trillion. Wow. Something's got to go in that process.
What are they telling the progressives, saying, look, just give in on this and you'll get it later, sort of like they did with the wall over Trump?
Sure. Sure.
And they're all going,
sure,
no,
absolutely.
You're not going to do that.
We know you're lying to us, Nancy. We've worked with you before.
Well,
we know what liars
I think
we are.
What Biden is telling them is hey, this is it. And I think the speaker went in and she said, this is it. This is what I've been working for all these years and I'm not coming back. And so you got to do this for me. Well, I think that's kind of exactly what Biden is saying. If there's any sentiment there for him, most of them are going to look at him and go, yeah, okay.
Well, if he's aware, he'll forget.
Into the barn.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me transition from that then and have you just talk for the next couple of minutes that we have here about your column. Because I thought every time you went through a thing, I'm like, oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. You kind of went through all of these things that he's going through. I mean, I don't think he was praying in that picture. I think he was listening to saying, don't call on Peter Ducey. Yeah. Only he couldn't figure out who it was.
Right. No, anybody can make whatever. It was just such a great picture. I thought, I can use this.
Yes.
First when I saw it. and that's what I tried to do. And the, it's easy to run through all of the prayers that would be made, that he would be making if he were really a prayerful person, I suppose, and under the circumstances. But as I said at the end, why is it that it looks like his prayers have been, because everything he was praying, don't let the press do this, don't let them do that. His prayers are being answered for everything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so you have to say, well, how come? And you know, it's like Billy Graham's daughter, when they said to her, well, why do 9/11 and bad things happen? You know, if you believe God is in control of everything, how come bad things happen? And I really liked her answer because she said, well, we've told God to get out of our schools, out of our public life, out of the government, out of everything. And she says, you know what? God's a gentleman. You tell him to get out of here, he'll leave. And,
all right. Yeah. That's a good point. It's so then,
So I say, well, my only response to that is I got to keep praying that he'll come back.
Yeah.
all is forgiven, you know. But I don't know.
So,
it was just a fun column.
A great column. I highly recommend it. AmericasCitizenPress.com. You've got a bunch of great columns there. One of the things, and we'll be talking about this here a little bit later after we let you go, but I think there is some, look at the polling numbers, some buyer's remorse going on here. What do you think on that?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. They said it's, well, first of all, they say his numbers are down to 43% approval. And I keep going, I want to meet somebody. One of those 43%. What is it exactly? Explain to me exactly what he's done so well so far. I mean, give me maybe I'm not seeing it because I watch, Fox News maybe or something. And I don't know all the wonderful things that he's done. So tell me, please, tell me what it is that you think he's done that keeps your saying, yeah, he's our guy. So I don't think I think him, a lot of that 43% is bogus. And I think they're remorseful, but I don't think that they want to publicly state it. So they lie to the pollster. But yes, they've lost a lot of votes. And that's why, to a certain extent, when he comes in and says, please do this for me, they go, you know, you're finished, buddy. And this isn't going to help you. Right. Yeah. And we're going to have to, you know, we have to go it ourselves. And we are, and, you know, remember those people, they are ideological. They are absolutely extremists. And so they believe that getting this done solves a great problem for them, even if they don't get reelected. But they think they will in their own constituency there. They, you know, they got elected for doing this kind of and talking about this kind of junk, right? They got elected because
the Afghan vote will come stuff. In, the Haitian vote will come in, it'll be all set.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then if it doesn't work, I guess you're right. They could be like Cory Gardner, frankly, and then go work for some solar energy company or something like that. You know, I mean, I imagine these people
Now look at that. You're right about the immigration thing.
Yeah.
Come on. If you can do this, if you can actually keep those borders open, keep lying to the American public, keep telling them it's Trump's fault or even if you say it's Trump's fault, then you know that you're admitting you've got a problem here today.
Right.
But you can say, no, this is nothing new. This is the way it's always been. There's no crisis. That's who said
cyclical.
There's no crisis. Yeah.
Cyclical.
And no big deal here. So you keep those borders wide open.
Right.
You can do, if you can do this for a couple more years, you can stack 20 more million upon the 20 million that are here.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, those are the ones I'm trying to get in here because they'll always support me and they'll support this agenda.
And
get a lot of reason to believe so. A little bit of scared because of what's happening in the Hispanic community.
Well, let me ask you, before you go, a couple questions about Colorado.
Okay.
Politics.
I haven't been there. I don't know. I have no idea what's happening.
you were one of the stalwarts for the opt-out, and that went down 60-40. And the two leading candidates, I suppose, these days for the Republican nominations for senator and for governor,
Heidi
Gnall, and then you got Bremmer.
Eli Bremmer.
For the Senate, both of which are establishment candidates and don't seem to get much excitement for any of the grassroots. I get the feeling that the Republican, and they can't get anybody try to run for attorney general or for secretary of state.
Treasurer, are you kidding
Christy
me?
Christy Burton around is going around begging these people.
She might have to ask Chuck.
Yeah, that she would ask me because
we're not there yet.
Torture.
We're not there yet.
Be a torture to be on that.
Come over there yet.
Yeah. So, no one's going to want to run for statewide office. I think this battle has shown that the establishment is firmly in control of the party, and therefore...
Breaking news from Dave Williams. Thank you, Dave, for listening. Ron Hanks just declared for U.S. Senate.
Yeah,
so there we go.
Right.
There's a good guy.
Now we got somebody. Thank God.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he can beat... but he's my no I can't he's not my guy I can't say that I can't say I'm for anybody
oh, okay. He's my
I
guy.
Am neutral
I like Ron Hanks.
I am neutral well,
the,
I like
there was breaking
Hanks.
News
and I like all our candidates blah, blah,
breaking
blah, blah,
news
blah.
On the Chuck but and, real quick yep so tell
well, well but so well that that's you know I guess now at least the grassroots have somebody they can sort of support.
Yes, they can. But I like Eric Odland. I mean, I think he's really a good guy, very good, strong conservative. Doesn't have much of a chance, of course, but what the hell? Who does? You tell me somebody who we like, or even, well, actually, even if we're not crazy about them, who has a good chance? Who would you say right now? You go, well, let's see. Could we, so-and-so, how many hundreds of millions of dollars could they raise? And
Yeah.
You know, could they make themselves moderate enough to win a few votes? I mean, I just don't know how you get to where we want to be. Now, as I mentioned to you before we even had the vote, you know, that there had to be something that really did energize our side and and demoralize the other side. And I sort of think I'm still there in that. You know, I remember when it was a conservative Republican Party in California was created. And, you know, I went out and spoke to them many times and, you know, they were our guys. They were with us on, I mean, you know, I'm saying from the standpoint of issues. And I think they had some degree of an impact on what happened in terms of the conservative groups. I mean, conservatives getting some nominations. Now, you know, they didn't have any impact on what was eventually going on because, of course, immigration changed the entire state. And so I still wonder whether there isn't some sort of benefit to us at least thinking about a new party or a conservative. Now, it would be a party that would support Republicans most of the time and still, and you could even still call yourself a Republican, but be a the conservative side, give people who are on our side a reason to get excited, vote, get involved. I don't know. Maybe there's nothing to be gained, but you know, we aren't going anywhere in this situation. I mean,
it's a good point. And whether, you know, the other form of that, they're the similar idea, but within the party is sort of equivalent of a Freedom Caucus.
Yeah.
So, because there's so many people, the word conservative has lost all meaning. I mean, I don't care how big a squish you are. They all call themselves conservatives. Nobody calls themselves a moderate Republican, even if they're a communist. and so those words are meaningless. And so when you meet somebody, you know, you have no idea where they stand on the ideological spectrum.
See, and I kind of like your idea a little bit better than a new party. But,
but at some point.
I know. Charlene is listening. And I know Charlene is like, new party, I think. Because,
well, I think if the Republican Party just stays as an establishment one for establishment candidates, then I think, you know, there's what's the point of having a Republican?
Well, yeah, it'll be lost. So,
that's I know you're.
Well, that's a different show. That's a topic for a different.
Here's the thing. Yeah, just real quickly. Here's the thing, you guys. If we did something like that, we could nominate some people. We could, in fact, nominate some conservative Republicans that could win in conservative Republican districts. Right now, they get axed by the establishment. They get thrown out, even though we could win the seat with a conservative. No, they don't want them. Right. If we have something like that, we could maybe nominate a conservative that could win in a conservative district. That's all I'm saying.
I see what you're saying, make it statewide. Oh, that's an interesting idea, Tom. Hey, listen, well, again, that's another show, because I know our texts are going to start lighting up with that. So,
okay.
You never fail. You never fail, Tom, to get people going.
Get Tommy on. He'll say anything.
Hey, thank you for your time. Good luck to your grandsons.
Thanks a lot. Like I say, we need more than luck.
Stay away from them. Stay away from that poor soccer team.
Hockey.
Oh, is it a hockey team? No,
hockey. Yeah, it's hockey. Now,
all right. Tom, thank you. Have a great weekend. We appreciate your time.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Well, that's good news. Okay, so we're going to a bunch of stuff to talk about, but want to let guys know, Party Friday, we're going to open up the phones, 888-627-6008. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. Or if you're on Zoom, go ahead and just raise your hand or go ahead and unmute yourself and you can chime in.
We'll have to get Ron Hanks on Monday if we can get him on.
Yeah, I like Ron.
I'm not allowed to like or dislike anybody, but any Senate candidate is welcome on.
Nope, we invited them all.
On a personal basis, I like Ron a lot.
So let me go back to the buyer's remorse thing. And because we wanted to play, Chuck stumbled across a sound clip that was good. I think that there is a great.
Stumble across it. You searched it out.
Research. It was in-depth research that he does daily while watching golf. He does. Oh, is that Charlene? Does somebody want to say something?
Oh, hi. Can you hear me, Julie?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, Oh, yeah, I just want to say to Tom Tancredo, we're going to need to be memorizing our books up in the mountains, like Fahrenheit 451, when they were burning the books. But, you know, I saw a video of Hillary the other day, and it was back during 2016 election, and she said, you know, they can steal these elections. They can hook up these election machines to the internet and steal our
I wonder how she knew that. She is
on record saying that. Yeah, exactly. Oh, she knew it. She knew it too well. But, you know, that's why when I hear that Biden's support is plummeting and all that, it's like he never really had any support. And it's smoke and mirrors. It's theater. We're stuck with this guy, and our elections are, well, I don't believe they're true anymore. And so I don't know where to go from here, but I do know Germany had elections, and they actually used paper ballots in Germany.
Yeah.
And
the socialist one. Yeah.
Well, at least I could count.
Yeah, you think of them as a real socialist. You know?
Right.
And so, you know, that, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, no, it is tricky. I think that you're right. And you know, the internet, everybody, they keep trying to shame you to not question the election. And I think anyone who is not questioning the rule of, if nothing else, the rules that have changed, if anyone who is not questioning, I mean, it's a fact that they found issues, significant issues, with some 55,000 votes, 57,000 votes in one county, granted a big county in Arizona. I mean, there are issues.
Right.
And the fact that they don't want to get to, well, how did these people who no longer live at this address or the ballot was mailed to, how did that ballot get sent back with that person filling it out? I mean, no one can argue against that. And
yeah, well, just the duplicated ballots means that they had already voted once.
Right. I mean, and let's not even go into the rule changes. I mean, we're reading now about there's videotapes there that they may be able to produce about the ballot mules dumping hundreds of ballots. Well, my question is, where did they come from? Because, you know, those people weren't going to hundreds of doors and knocking on them, right? I mean, there are so many things. And the fact that, it's like it's become a birther thing. But Charlene, you're right. I mean, I think to a certain extent, you could be right. That's why they don't care whether people have buyer's remorse.
They don't have to have remorse. They never voted in the first place. So.
Yeah, a good point.
Right. There's two things. Exactly. They have no remorse because they never voted for them. There's two things that we can't talk about. We can't talk about stolen elections, and we can't talk about ivermectin and the working and COVID. And, you know, those are the two things that if those myths are busted, then, you know, the American people will say, wait a minute, but they got to keep us hooked into that illusion that there's a two-party system and one party is working for the conservatives, which is not true, and that there are free and true and fair elections. And that,
right,
that's not true. And so, you know, until we can bust those myths, we're just kind of
Here's what we've got a sound bite,
right? There's hope, Charlene.
Well, not much hope,
a little bit of hope.
But let's go ahead and play that sound.
Yeah, Charlene, thank you. Well, you go ahead and get off a little bit.
You'll like this one.
This
Charlene.
Let me sort of set this up, because I think that. There are some people who are, and we've talked about this before, who are saying, well, wait a minute, I voted against Donald Trump, but I didn't vote for this. I didn't vote for that. And then what, you know, you have, for us, who've been following and knew the Russia hoax was just a big lie all along, you find, you know, Durham indicts one guy, you're like, whoop-de-doo, you know, and it's some low-level guy. And I think, you know, we're not going to get justice there. But I think there is a silver lining in that some of the headlines, and even some of the headlines, even though they didn't get a lot of coverage, Hunter Biden's laptop was legit. We forget that there are actually people on the other side who believed it. And so to a certain extent, some of the news coming out that's now saying, well, you know, that actually was a lie. And some of the people I'm sort of saying, some of the woke are getting woke up. So if we could please play the comedian Russell Brand soundbite, Thomas.
Years ago that we were hearing that Trump was colluding with Russia, that he wouldn't have won the election without Russia, that his whole presidency was a kind of Putin plot. Well, there's now serious evidence that it was the Clinton campaign and Hillary Clinton acolytes that were directly involved in the generation of what has proven to be a conspiracy. Untrue. Think about how much media you watched. Me, a person who I would think, broadly speaking, is from the left, a liberal, certainly not a Trump-supporting Republican with respect to those of you that are, I find myself in awe, gobsmacked, flabbergasted and startled by these revelations that Russiagate was a Democratic conspiracy. Let's unpack that now with the help of Glenn Greenwald. A lawyer for Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign was indicted on Wednesday with one felony count of lying to the FBI about a fraudulent Russiagate story he helped propagate. We have to recollect just how prevalent this story was. Every late night talk show, all over the news, it was just, you were bombarded with it.
It qualifies as collusion,
the product of collusion.
And collusion.
And my personal perspective is I want the world to be better. I want to believe that the Democratic Party are reliable, that they are the party of inclusivity and diversity and truth and social justice and all great positive ideas. What my concern is becoming is that these are totemic issues pushed to the forefront to mask ordinary, regular corruption.
Exactly. Hello. It's like if you listen to any kind of conservative.
You used to be a Democrat.
That's right. I mean, to a certain extent, you know, I mean, if he can be woke, there are other people too. So yeah, Charlene is saying liberals may just save us. Well, and here's something else I think that's becoming a problem.
But the best part about it is the last one where he said, well, maybe this social justice, all this other stuff, just totemics pushed forward to hide old-fashioned corruption. Dingo.
Bingo. And
that's what I used to tell Julie before she was
Before I was woke. Well, here's the thing. Woke. And in that, he has a whole show. And in it, he goes on later to say that, you know, if they were lying to us about Russiagate, if they were lying to us about Hunter Biden laptop, if they were lying to us about this, this, and this, maybe they were lying about everything. And again, hello. Yes, they are. So maybe, just maybe, there's a little glimmer of a silver lining there, even though we're never going to see the justice that we deserve on that. But here's another thing, too, that I think is coming around and waking people up, and that is the border crisis. No matter how much I say it's not a crisis, it is. And I did a little bit of math, but I want to play, this is an NBC News report about the number of illegal, now they call them migrants. But the number of illegal
happy campers
expected to enter the United States this month. Just this month alone. If we could play the border crisis soundbite, Thomas.
Monitoring the crisis at the border tonight and a warning this evening that as many as 400,000 migrants, an unprecedented number, could cross into this country next month. Julia Ainslie has more on this.
After those dramatic scenes at that crowded migrant camp under a border bridge in Del Rio, tonight, U.S. officials telling NBC News the Biden administration is preparing for an even more massive surge in October. Up to 400,000 migrants crossing the border, which would be a record, nearly doubling the stunning numbers we've seen the last 2 months, which were a 21-year high.
So in June, July, I did a little bit of research, June, July, and August, 200,000 each month came in. And these are just the ones that the Border Patrol catches. These aren't the ones that the Border Patrol
catches.
But
see, I love it. They're planning.
They're planning for
400,000 to come.
But that's just looking at it. Okay, so I mean, the 400,000 coming, that's bigger than the third largest city in Colorado, Aurora. That'd be if Aurora was entirely replaced by illegal immigrants. When you add up the total of all the people who've come in since June, it's bigger than the city of Denver and Aurora combined. I think that there are a lot of people saying, okay, wait, I'm all for letting people come in to seek a better life. But not like that.
Well, if you're all for people seeking a better life and they do it illegally, then you're getting just what you wanted.
Well, because again, I think that is.
But so many Americans, we're a nation of immigrants. We ought to destroy our economy so Democrats control everything.
I think, though, there are becoming more people like this Russell Brand guy who are like, well, I'm a liberal, but I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that we should just have completely open borders, because, again, people get, even if they're liberal, that they're going to be the ones paying for that.
Liberals never think they're going to pay for
that. Well, they think they don't mind, but you look at those kind of numbers, they're like, well, I should pay my fair share because I'm an elite privileged person. Unless, of course, you're AOC and her friends, then you don't pay. But I think, though, that there is, there's the double-edged sword, though. I'm going to give you a downer here. I think on the one hand,
there's an upside to
Well, on the upside, I think that people are recognizing that.
They're noticing 500,000 people.
I mean, I was at a meeting once and they were talking about the number of people who are pulling their kids out of Boulder public schools and homeschooling. I mean, there's about 20% increase in people homeschooling their kids just in this past year, right? So, and I think maybe some of that is perhaps irresponsible parents. Nobody wants to talk about that, but I will. But on the other hand, I think that there are a lot of parents who say, I don't want my kids going to those schools. The negative part is what they're going to do with all of those illegal immigrants. Because you know the next push is going to be, you don't have to be a citizen to vote. I mean, we talk about this.
Whatever it takes, whether it's you don't have to be a citizen to vote or they just do one broad amnesty where they all can vote. You know, they have all that coming up down the...
They're planning for that, too.
Oh, of course they're planning. You know, the Republicans...
Well, it's just like we had John Perrazzo on at the Investigator saying, yeah, this is it's not a crisis. It's a plan kind of thing.
Now, I want to issue a correction. Issue a correction. Last week, we talked about the meeting down in Pueblo, and I indicated that our beloved leader, Christy Burton Brown, appeared to be against having the higher number of delegates, Republican delegates, because she made several remarks that she says, I'm lying. She's told people I'm lying. She wasn't for it. She was just giving some off-the-cuff general views of informational status. She was not against it because, of course, it passed. So it's always interesting about people who are always accusing others of lying.
Chuck, you're a known liar. You're a known,
liar. I'm a known liar.
No, it's like, tragically, well, I don't want to say, Chuck, sometimes when he should lie and say, no, I like your hair. Yeah, he does not. I can guarantee you.
I need to lie a lot more.
One other thing, too, that's hopeful, although tragic, in terms of, I mean, I just think that, I'm going back to my buyer's remorse thing, that I think there are a lot of people who were like, hey, they just thought, oh, I'm voting for Trump. I hate Trump. I hate Trump. And they didn't stop to read the fine print under what it means to vote for Joe Biden and the Democrats.
I think they did. I mean, I honestly believe.
Well, that's why I think his poll numbers are down.
Well, I honestly believe the election was stolen. I mean, 57,000 votes. And that would be an indication if there's that many fraudulent votes that you throw out the results. You say, yeah, I don't know, because we can't prove how everyone voted. It's sufficient that if
that's
fraud on that
martyr,
level,
right.
We're going to, you will have to have a new election, or at least in Arizona, but that's no longer possible. So it pays to steal elections in the United States.
Right.
It pays to steal and cheat and lie.
But back again, though, because we have to be hopeful, it's Party Friday.
Right.
I think people are, though, I think starting to realize what happens when you, I mean, that the elections really do have consequences. And we could go through the whole thing. Afghanistan, I mean, again, where people say, yeah, I think we should get out of Afghanistan. But then they're like, but I didn't mean that way, right? I think that we need to, I mean, you see polls that people say, I support vaccine mandates. And yet an equal number of people say, but you shouldn't be fired from your job if you don't get a vaccine that everybody knows you don't need. And then this, I think, is one of the biggest things they have.
And doesn't work.
that, you know, you've been reading a lot about the supply chains. Now, I have some questions about whether there are big companies, the global companies, just like using the pandemic to screw up and raise prices. But the inflation, this came out today, hit the fastest pace in August in 30 years. In 30 years. And the Biden's administration people are now saying, oh, yeah, you remember when we were telling you it was just going to end really soon, really soon? Well, actually, it's not going to end. I mean, the lumber is up 40%. You know, in August. Well, I mean, lumber was supposed to start going down, right? And you look at housing prices and all of that. So Biden's economic problems, I think, are not going to be going away anytime soon. And that is something I think that people really pay attention to. They're going to have to start not just letting people cross a border. He's going to have to start sending buses down to, well, they already are, but
they already are. Julie.
Those giant planes that they evacuated people from Afghanistan, they're just going to have to start going to all kinds of other countries and saying, come on in, and just like literally just flying them over here. Because I think there are going to be a lot of people. They will do a lot of people saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm not voting for that. I'm, you know.
Yeah, well, you don't have to. We'll vote for you.
Well, yeah, there's that. I don't think so. I think I hope. I mean, otherwise, what do you do? You either cry, you know, laugh or cry, right? And so it's Party Friday, so we don't want to cry. I think, and if nothing else, I think it is, it makes it easier to talk to people. You don't have everybody saying, oh, you Republicans are, but, you know, now you're like, I think people are finding more common ground. Again, this meeting I was at on Wednesday, you know, you used to worry about the soccer moms. I think if you're a Democrat right now, you have to worry about the mama bears. I think there are a lot of women out there who are really angry and upset about what they're doing to our kids, what they're trying to do our kids. And
we'll just replace them.
Replace what?
The moms. We don't.
That's why they're going to get rid of the marriage. That's why they're doubling the marriage tax, right?
It's like, no problem.
Get rid of the child deduction. Yeah. But go ahead and
just get rid of the moms.
Get rid of the moms. Well, you could say that. Who would go to the grocery store? Who would get done?
The illegal aliens.
All right. Hey, listen. We got to see Charlene. People are saying stuff. Chrissy Burton Brown, head of the losing party. There you go. Begging for GO candidates. Losers beg. Well, yeah. I mean, Charlotte, I always think you should call it the winning caucus. That should tell them something, right? The Republican Party, when they're like, no, we don't want to opt out of the Democrat run primaries. The fact that they can't get any candidates
to run at all
should tell them something.
At all.
You know.
Oh no, we don't. There's going to be a Republican primary, except there's going to be no candidates in it.
Yeah, because they're like, why would I run? It's, you know,
can't possibly win.
And then if you're one of the consultants, you would be like, why should I pay Frank McNulty or Josh Penry whatever money I can raise so I can lose? Why don't I just skip straight to the
losing,
going back to my life part, right? And have a beer or something like that.
I mean, it is amazing that nobody's signed up for any of those positions. I mean, there's usually one crazy person.
Well, and usually you can get somebody who's willing to do that because they know that that gets them some name recognition, some networking, and then they can run for something else. But they're like, what else is there to run for? You know, what else is there to run for? They're like, well, I could run for that and lose, or I guess I could run for that and lose.
I'm encouraged that Ron Hanks is that gives people a choice in that particular one. So there will be a grassroots candidate and there'll be other candidates and people get to.
Leo says dog catcher. No, you can't. Leo, no, they got that covered too. I guarantee
they always have
a
dog catcher.
Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us today, guys. I want to remind you, you can always find all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com or else just go to bbsradio.com/chuckandjulieshow. Love to thank everybody who subscribed to us and appreciate that. And, please, anybody else too, just go to chuckandjulie.com to get everywhere you need to go. Next week, a lot of stuff going on too. Next week is all kinds of things. It's never slow, too slow to find things to talk about.
No, it's not. And so, all right, everybody get out there and start partying.
Start partying on Party Friday. Hey, we'll see everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you guys at BBS Radio. Appreciate you so much.
Appreciate you all. Bye-bye.